Hey everyone, it's Sonia here. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for showing up today. This is episode 147 of our podcast. And you'll notice, for those that are catching this on YouTube, this is another heart to heart. This is a trend that I've picked up. Not even a trend. Let's just say I've created this trend all by myself, but I'm still going to be chiming in and doing some of my own podcast series, but I love hearing the perspective of other people. I love hearing their stories and what they're doing about their lives and the game changers that they are, the dream catchers that they are. So I'm hoping today's episode will once again inspire you. It doesn't matter how you've stumbled across us, if Lori invited you, if I invited you, if you came across the podcast, or if you're finding us on YouTube. All of the links are going to be in the show notes that we talk about. All of that will be on YouTube as well as your favorite listening channel. So episode 147, woo-hoo! Special guest Lori with us. And I'm going to give you a little bit of a sneak peek of what we're going to chat about today. It's all about stepping into your greatness and owning it. Let's see where this conversation goes. Lori, please take a minute to introduce yourself.
Well, hello everyone. I'm Dr. Lori Davis, but you can definitely just call me Lori. I am a clinical sexologist, and I'm sure you don't run across those at parties very often, so I'll let you know what that is. Basically a sexologist is someone who just studies sex, and as a clinical sexologist, my role is to try to see how studying sex can actually help you have a better sex life. Clinical sexologists come from all different kinds of backgrounds. I'm a nurse practitioner by training. So I understand how the body works and how to help the body show up optimally from a holistic perspective. But I'm also a certified sex counselor, and so we can work with the full mind-body connection to help you step into the sex life that you long for.
Okay, I'm curious. What got you here? Because you didn't start here, right?
I did not start here. I was working in the hospital doing the classic, grind, 12-hour shifts, and all that kind of stuff. And, I went through my own sort of sexual exploration. I think we as women, and really everyone, has to do that as we evolve and grow in our sexuality. So I was in that process for myself. And then I met a bunch of women who were having trouble with sex in different kinds of ways. One woman told me about terrible pain that she was having with sex. And where I met these women was within the medical profession, within the medical system, and just found that like they were not getting any support at all. And I just realized, like, had this epiphany, sort of light bulb over the head moment where I was just like, this is not okay. Women's sexuality matters. It matters if sex hurts. It matters if they have low desire. It matters to them, their partnerships, their families, our culture, our society. And we should be able to do better by them. So where I started was in what we call sexual medicine, right? So how do we to work with the body to get have to help you be able to show up optimally. And just have grown from there. So I was only working with women initially. Now I work with all genders and couples. So, yeah.
I'm actually speechless, and I knew what you do. I'm speechless with the fact there's a couple things that you've mentioned. The professionals, other professionals in the industry, really just kind of allocated the problems to what? Menopause?
In the
Pains
case of
and aches,
the
and this is typical. Yeah.
I mean, I think, we have to really kind of like name the patriarchy and name misogyny and stuff when it comes to thinking about how women are treated in healthcare in general, and especially when it comes to how women are treated when it comes to things around sexuality. So, I think that a lot of this is attributed to we call it supratentorial causes. So if a woman has a complaint, we say it's supratentorial. It's all in your head.
All in your head.
It's
Yep.
all in your head. And the fact is, that's just not true. And it also is the case that, yeah, everything is all in everyone's head because the mind-body connection is so complex and intertwined, So I just think that we never really took women's concerns seriously for all those reasons. And yeah, we attribute it to menopause. We attribute it to, I guess that's just the way it is. And we never look any further with it,
I find that to be the truth in so many areas. And I know this is International Women's Week. I know this would have been brilliant if we did this podcast on Wednesday, but it doesn't matter. I was at a show and we didn't connect on Wednesday. But this isn't about women's empowerment at all, this episode. So you don't have to stop. We're not going to go there, but this is about equality. This is about owning your greatness. This is about speaking your truth and saying, you know what? It's not in my head. Look at me. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong, pretty much. You're going for medical diagnostics and prove me wrong. And a lot of us will go to one, we'll get one diagnosis and we'll accept it. But we know that there's a gut feeling that it's not the right one, or that there is something bigger because they haven't done the test and they haven't done this and they haven't done that. And they just kind of wash their hands because next. Yeah. So I'm so happy that there are people like you that can go right in to the nitty-gritty and help others figure out their source. So they can,
Exactly. I mean, it's, in
yeah.
all these domains, for when women have complaints, they just don't get the support. If you look at any kind of pain, with sex, women can see 8 to 10 doctors before anyone actually can help diagnose what the problem is. You look at something like endometriosis, which causes pain with sex. Women are spending 10 years looking for a diagnosis. So it's frustrating. It's frustrating. It's changing. There's no doubt about that, that people are paying a lot more attention, but we still have a long way to go.
Well, good thing we've got people like you in the mix and in order to help them hone in on what needs to be done. So, what do you find the biggest takeaway is when you work with your clients?
People have so many different kinds of concerns when it comes to sexuality, as you can imagine, right? The most common concern for women is probably low desire, maybe followed by pain or problems with orgasm. People of other genders, couples, they're suffering with all kinds of things. But I think that fundamentally, when you look at what is that feeling that they're all having, that feeling, the way I just say it, it's like they're feeling stuck. You're just feeling really, really stuck. We're stuck in the same patterns. I'm stuck in the same response. We're stuck in the cycle. And what I tell my clients is, we got to tune in to turn on again, right? You're stuck. We got to tune back in to turn on. And so it's about taking time. Really, it's not a, let's talk for 15 minutes and, here's your medication and you're good to go. I mean, when it comes to the stuff, we want to take our time. We want to give some breath. We want to give the pause. We want to take time for meditation and contemplation and exploration, and then get into messy action,
Messy action. Okay, so
get
first
in.
of all, for those that have been following this show for a while, there is a consistent pattern that you are hearing with these guests lately. And they talk about meditation and they talk about slowing down and they talk about reflections. And, we haven't gotten to journaling, but I know that's a part of it. And these are practices that I recommend that you do every day. And it doesn't matter your modality and it doesn't matter where it fits into your day. We can talk about that separately, but I wanted to just bring it to your attention that the parallels. It doesn't matter the industry. So, for those that don't know, I don't have, for the most part, more than a few minutes before we go on camera. 90% of the time, I do not have a pre-call with anybody. We don't talk about what we're going to say on this show. I like these to be organic conversations. So, the synchronicity in these messages about slowing down, about reaching out to certain people, the synchronicity about doing the mind work and how your mind impacts the rest of your body is the biggest takeaway I want to say so far from what we've even chatted about. So these are not practices meant for certain people. These are practices meant for everybody. Yeah. All
I
right.
couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's the cornerstone of my practice. People come with, there's all the complexity of their problems, the complexity of how they're relating. And I'm like, we just have to meditate. We are mindfulness or journal or do the walks that you love, and it's, people are very, can be very resistant to it because it can be very uncomfortable to slow down when we're in a go, go, go kind of to-do list mentality. And people can feel like that's just not for me. I can't do that. And, I just really, I encourage people so much to wonder, like, maybe it could be, maybe this could be for me, because it's the cornerstone of a healthy life, not just a healthy sex life.
Yeah. And so when you're prompting your clients to journal or to meditate, is there anything in specific? I'm trying to say particular or specific, but anything in specific that you would encourage them to journal or to meditate on when it comes specifically to their sexuality and from the sex perspective?
I guess in answering that question, what I would say is I encourage people to find some way to get a little bit of a practice outside of sex where they're working to bring focus and attention, right? Often to the breath. I think the breath is the one of the best places to go if you're looking for a meditative focal point, because it's always there with you, you know. It's such a rock, it's such a resource for us. And so I encourage people to find a few minutes a day to practice the skill of turning towards letting go of your thoughts, developing that objective space, and turning towards something. The breath is a good option. And then you take that skill set into the bedroom by focusing on your pleasure, right? And you just put, where am I feeling pleasure right now? If I'm not feeling pleasure right now, what do I need to do to move back into connection with my pleasure? Not worrying about my partner. Not worrying about the laundry, but like, where's my pleasure?
And I understand why slowing down is important, because when we slow down and literally focus on the moment, we can separate the laundry. We can separate the next to-dos. We can be like, okay, I'm too tired in reality, but we can communicate that in a different way, or we can still show affection in a different way to ourselves or our partners when we're comfortable pushing those thoughts away and knowing that they're safe and that there's a place for them. Because otherwise, you're not in the mood when you're thinking of everything else you need to do.
It's a
And
hundred
we've been
percent.
there. And we've
Yeah.
been there.
Like sex and pleasure, it all happens in the now, you
Yeah.
know, it happens now. And so we really have to be able to make space. And I think some sort of meditative mindfulness practice is how we make that space, right? It's like essential to our health. We need water, we need food, and we need mental space
Oh, I thought you were going to
to
say
be
we need
healthy.
sex as part of our health. I'm like, well, I think it is, but I don't know if it's
I'm saying space,
clinically.
also sex.
But we're not meant to be individual creatures. We're meant to be in community. And I don't know, are you familiar with the chakras? Okay. So for those that are not familiar, and I'm not going to take you through all of them. We did that on the last episode if you want a little bit of a breakdown. But this, she, Lori today is addressing the sacral chakra, which is all about pleasure. It's about creativity. It's not necessarily personal pleasure. That's your solar plexus. And this is the next step after your root chakra. So your sacral chakra is technically orange when you look at all of the chakras' colors. And it talks about your connection with your partner, your connection with your loved ones. And it's not as broad as a community like your root chakra. This is your sexuality. This is pleasure. This is creativity. And it doesn't have to be with your partner. This can be with you as well. But it summarizes all of those categories. And there's so many different ways you can engage this, from food to colors to attention and desires. But you're not going to move up that chakra system. You're not going to move to that next space. You're not going to clear that next area unless you focus on your chakras. Your in particular, if the sexology part, if owning it is a part of who you are, you really want to spend some time and attention here. And when I say creativity, it's not just painting or crayons or markers or having a really cool, colorful display or wearing cool, creative colors every day, although that can be a part of it. It's tapping into pleasure. So, can you speak to us about your perspective on pleasure and owning it? Yeah.
I love what you're saying. I feel like I'm obviously I have a scientific background to a certain degree, but I also love the woo and I love the spiritual and I love the chakras and the human design and all the different ways that all the different lenses through which we can look into sexuality. I think they're all fascinating and all offer different perspectives that can really open things up for us. I agree 100% with what you're saying that like our sexuality, we say sex, we could start thinking about very specific, behaviors or acts. But really, sex is so much bigger than that. You know, it is really about something that's deeply connecting us to ourselves, connecting us to our partner, and connecting us to basically our life force, you know, our creativity, our vitality, and kind of caring for that part of ourselves through the pathway of sex with our partner is, you know, it's just irreplaceable, I think, in terms of being able to offer nourishment to us. You know, I think pleasure is like a compass. You know, it helps us direct us which way should we go, this way or that way. And I think in our culture, we can be very frightened of pleasure. We can be resistant to pleasure, you know. But ultimately, I think that's where it's something where we've gone astray, because I think pleasure is actually the root of who we are, right? Our bodies are built to make pleasure. They will make pain as well. Pain will come in unbidden. But pleasure, you have to allow it in, you know, you have to accept it. And when you do, you start to see like this path versus that path, that color in that painting I want to draw versus that pathway in my life. I want to work with that coach and not that coach. The guide there is something about pleasure. And I think that we've kind of forgotten about that as a practice of connecting to ourselves and connecting to, inwards towards self-care.
I couldn't agree anymore. Honestly, we have forgotten about pleasure, and it's one of those things that we essentially need to fill our cup. Mm-hmm. And it's something we did in our childhood almost all the time. And, you know, you go back and you'll hear a lot of coaches say, go back to what your child did. You did as a child. Well, we played all day. So specifically, what did we do, you know, and try to bring in some of that to your day-to-day now, but it doesn't have to be the exact same thing. So I remember my brother and I would play monkey in the middle with one of the neighbors. Well, I'm not going to go do that now and play in the driveway.
It might be great,
right? But will I enjoy playing keep away from with my grandson and my dogs and the ball? It's the same concept. It's play. I can tell you though, from that little exercise, I can't get outside enough. I love being outside. I get reunited with nature. I thrive. So go back to your childhood and see what brings you pleasure. Yeah. Be creative. Make pleasure part. And I was going to see if, I know we're recording, so I don't know if I can share screen eloquently. So we might talk about this later, but there's a book and I should see if I can pull, I'll see if I can pull this up while we're talking. I just don't have
a little bit while you're looking for that.
Perfect. Yeah, that's great. Thanks.
About play. I mean, that's exactly what I say to my clients. I say, what if we just threw the word sex out? Because sex has so much baggage attached to it. What we have, our expectations, our scripts around that. What if we threw the word sex out and we just called it play? You know, would you like to come together and have a little playtime, you know, instead of this pressure around, do you want to have sex? A little playtime. And the idea is that's like, the way I think of sex, it's like playful self-care that we do with our partner, where we get to explore pleasure. You know, that just sounds like, what would it look like? What would your sex life look like if that's what you were doing rather than we're going to have sex? So I love that you're bringing in play. It's a core part of this. Yeah.
It's a core part, and it's a completely different story that we don't let ourselves have.
Mm-hmm. I say to my clients, have you seen the movie Frozen? I think, you know, when you're asking me to have sex, it's a little bit more like, do you want to build a snowman? Do you want to come and play?
And that's pretty much it. Okay,
I like
so
yeah.
I found what I'm looking for. I actually found it on my Facebook group. So I'm going to bring everybody in here for a second. And I love how you said the movie Frozen, because there's another movie that talks about emotions and feelings, and it's called Inside Out, and it's a child's movie.
It's if you haven't watched it, watch it.
So I'm going to write down Inside Out and Frozen that we're going to add to the show notes, maybe not the links, but movie recommendations.
Totally unexpected movie recommendations on the sex podcast.
On the sex podcast, and they are children's.
They're perfect.
So yeah. I'm just saying. Okay, so we're going to share screen for a second here. I'm going to bring everybody into my Facebook Everything community. If you're not a member yet, this is completely free, this community here. And there's some cool stuff happening. So I'm going to share this post with you. And it's from, and I'm going to explain it as we're chatting, but it's from the book, feel the fear and do it anyways. And I will make sure I tag that in the show notes as well. Now, I'm not an affiliate. I've read this book twice. Hang on. So this is something called a whole life grid. And hobby is right on there. Now, hobby should be pleasure filled. Hobby should be creative. Hobby should be fun. Hobby should be something that you're looking forward to. So it doesn't say pleasure, creativity. It doesn't say fun. But if you're not having those things in your hobby, it should not be a hobby. Period. So the whole purpose about this, and for those that are listening to this, this is a grid with nine squares in it. And it says whole life grid. And what I posted with this says, take a moment to look at your life from a holistic perspective. So a bird's eye view. In which box do you spend most of your time? We want to balance life out and spread ourselves out amongst all nine of these boxes. And there is a variation. If you're not in a relationship, she has eight boxes instead of nine boxes on her grid. You know, so this way, if one area goes astray, other areas are still intact. And, you know, I'm definitely here to help you. Lori's here to help you fill in your grid and see what it looks like. So the nine components on the grid: contribution, hobby, leisure, family, alone time, personal growth, work, relationship, and friends. And, you know, Lori, just out of curiosity, how many of those boxes do you have ticked mentally?
I would say one, two. I mean, I think there's something in each of them. I think hobby has a it is sort of empty right now. And obviously work is always taking over way too, that box is much bigger than the other ones. Way too much time.
When we're talking about owning it, and we're not specifically talking about owning our life yet, I mean, although that's what it's all about. When we're talking about pleasure and serving our best life, when, and I'm going to talk about work because I am an entrepreneur, so I'm a victim of this as well. And I chose that word exclusively. When we have all of our time and attention in one box, and let's take work, for example, and we're hitting a valley and we're in that valley, especially as entrepreneurs, but it doesn't matter what your profession is. You start feeling not good enough because it's the only area where you spend all of your time and attention, or the majority of it. And that has a compound effect to everything else because you don't have an independent relationship that's outside of work. You don't have an independent way of looking at yourself and thinking of yourself because all of your value falls into that work box. You can't creatively play or participate in any hobby when you're stressing about work. So we really need to make sure we're in all of these boxes somehow, because if that work ball drops while we're juggling everything, then what? If your relationship breaks up, and we've seen this, and you're a codependent person, or even if you're independent, but you do so, you've got some codependent parts of your relationship, you're going to miss the routine the most that you had with that partner. Everything else is then going to fall apart if that's the only area you were spending time and attention. So when it comes to owning your life, you really want to include things like hobbies that bring you pleasure, creativity, leisure. And some of these can be intermixed, of course. We talked about contribution, pre-screen. You know how even helping your children with money is a form of contribution. It's a form of serving, especially with the mindset of not expecting that money back. So I see you're still looking at this grid. Do you have anything else that you want to add to this before we just go back to stop screen sharing?
You know, as a sexologist, I'm always like, can we name sex? You know, I know it doesn't, it fits in the grid around relationship, but sometimes I feel like we use these euphemisms for that part of our lives. And it just obscures that, you know? And so it's nice to sort of actually just say it, you know, like we want this kind of playful, interconnected pleasure with our partners. Because otherwise, yeah, just what is working on my relationship look like, you know? I
And
think
this is where you could
taking
break
that out.
it.
I mean, it's covered in here, but it's just in, you know, I just have this perspective of always like, can we name it? Could we name that too?
Well, because relationship isn't just sex either. You're right.
Right,
So you can
exactly. It's
skip
not
right
just sex.
over it.
Yeah, you
So
can skip right over it.
you could add sex to this. You would add sex as one of these boxes, or in addition. So would you add any other boxes to this grid?
I think that looks good. I think otherwise I'm feeling good about the grids.
Yeah. Awesome.
And I
Awesome.
love the
So,
title that what it was, what say it again. It was Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway.
yes,
That's the
that's
book
the
it's
book.
from.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just a core thing that I work with around people because there's so much fear around talking with our partners about sex, first of all, and then there's huge fear around just stepping outside of our script, like doing anything slightly different. And the fear, people call it often awkwardness, you know? So it's like I often say to clients, like, feel the awkwardness and do it anyway. Like, I want you to have like a deep relationship with your experience of awkwardness. It's going to be your friend, right? You got to get
Yeah.
curious about it. You got to lean into it because it's often the awkward that's keeping us from our most awesome self.
Isn't that the truth? I mean, we always think, and I don't want to tap too much into this, but I would love to hear if you have a mantra. So I'm going to share this little piece. But we always think, typically at a certain age in life, you start to think, what's the worst that can happen? And you set yourself up for the worst to protect yourself. Again, this is going back to your root chakra to protect your safety and security, because without that, you have nothing. You can't, it's the most basic hierarchy of needs. You, without safety and security, you have nothing. You can't evolve, you can't grow, because you're worried about the roof over your head and the food and the clothes and everything. And that is instinctive. There is no right, wrong here. So there is no judgment if you are in that space at all. So release that judgment, guys. Release it. Push it away
We
from
all
you.
have it. We all have it. We all
We
have our
do.
awkward. We all have our fear.
Yes. So what mantra would you say about exploring what's uncomfortable instead of automatically going, what is the worst that can happen? Because we go there. And then most people don't think of what is the best that can happen. And then you can bring yourself back to the reality. Okay, now realistically, what could happen? Realistically, you know, it doesn't matter in my past experience, those could still happen. But realistically, in this moment, right now, what could happen? So do you have a mantra or a saying to help your clients get through what could be uncomfortable?
Not sure if I think about it like a mantra, but it's something about like embrace the awkward, you know,
Got it.
and it's some stuff around just remembering that you're okay and that you are safe. You know, when I talk to clients, it's usually like my partner would love to do anything I want to do. They love me completely, you know, like the folks I work with are in really often in beautiful, loving relationships. But there's something that comes up around making any change around sex that feels like super unsafe, you know? And so just remembering that like you're safe, you're secure, I am okay. You know, just sort of tapping back into what you really actually know about the truth of your relationship, and even not just your relationship, but just your relationship with yourself.
I was
You're
just about
safe
to add
because
that. You're
you've
safe.
got your back. You've got
Well,
you, and
you
you're
do.
not going to put yourself in harm's way. Nothing's going to go wrong. I feel like so much of this stuff around our fears and our awkwardness, I think about it sort of like an optical illusion. It's like an emotional illusion, you know, and you just want to sort of like see through that this is just an illusion. And we're gonna break on through to the other side, basically. You know?
I love that. All right, guys, last episode, I took you so long. This time we're going to keep it a little bit within the reins. So we have talked so much, not just about sex in particular, right? We talked about in general, we didn't go down to the nitty-gritty, but we talked about the value of respecting your mindset and giving yourself the clarity to breathe and to think about what it is that you want in that area. It's safe for you to go there. You know, with the right person, with the right communication, it can be very safe for you to do whatever you want to do in those components. And that's what I'm hearing that you coach people
Yeah, and
through.
I'm coaching people to say there's something in you that you want. There's something in there, and that whole like ability to listen for what that is, it gets stunted because we're not paying attention. But there's something in you want, and it matters. I'm telling you that it really, really matters, and that you deserve to be able to ask for that. And so developing the skill set of being able to look inside to see what it could be, to be curious about that, to respect it as a fundamental part of who you are, and to then allow that to come up and out through the throat chakra, you know, not to get stuck here, to come
Not to
up
get
and
stuck.
out, right? Not to get stuck, let it come out. And then you're getting into that messy action, getting tuned in, turned on again.
And there's something powerful. I know you mentioned this earlier, and I don't talk too much about this. I think I'm going to bring a guest speaker in to educate us on this, but human design is huge. So I talk a lot about different energies. Like I do a whole workshop on my Essentially You, where we categorize everybody in four different energies based on this little quiz that they do. And it's very, very true. And then I talk about chakras, and I do a lot of work on chakras, but human design is very incredible as well. When you blend it with the science, when you blend the quantum physics, when you blend the other possibilities into the scientific proof, it's amazing what can be discovered. So what I want to bring up with human design is slightly different than chakras, but it works with chakras. And I found out the other day that I have a my throat chakra. I don't know if it's open and closed, but it's highly influential, is what she said. So that means it's easy for me to just say yes. It's easy for me to do what everybody else wants. It's easy for me to just go with the flow. Does it mean I am comfortable speaking my truth and my wants? And this is where I think she said I have an open throat. I forget what she said about what if my throat chakra is open or closed or what it had to do with my human design. But there is so much more than if you're stuck communicating, that's a great way to have a conversation. If you have the desire and you don't know what it is, there's so many different things you can tap in to help you realize. Look at this. I had the hiccups and then a little mini burp as we're
Yeah,
talking about my throat
interesting,
chakra,
right? Interesting.
about desires. Yeah. So, and that's what people will pick up on. It's like, okay, very interesting, because when you tap in, you can learn why you're making these decisions and you can own it. You can completely own those decisions when you know what they are and where they're coming from.
Absolutely. You know, and it's fun because sexuality is often unspoken, you know, and I think that we that I often talk with clients who feel really stuck and sort of thinking about this up and out as something that has to be verbal, and sort of working with them around it. Maybe not. You know, we communicate sexually through our bodies. So what in what way can you communicate with your body, with the way you place your hand, with the way you're, you know, a glance or whatever that can make this ability to let the out what it is you want more fluid and not totally dependent on words. I mean, I love words. And I think it's essential, but there's so much more in the ways that we're communicating through affection and touch and presence, that we can lean on that too.
To put that all together, the best way to figure out how to communicate your sexuality and any of your other desires is by reading the book, The Five Love Languages. That's going
A
to
good one.
share with you how you like to receive and how you like to give. My partner and I are completely different. I need physical touch. He doesn't as much. He's more, okay, it's bedtime. Let's do it. Not quite, but a little bit more black and white like that. He is a completely different energy type than I am, too, right? And so I know this. Psychologically wise, I know this about him. So I'm not saying I'm adapting, but knowing that I am very influential, it's easy for me to adapt subconsciously without realizing it. So when you realize your love language, not only can you give that to yourself, you can give that to others, but you can communicate what it is that you want. And
Absolutely.
it doesn't have to be, you can communicate by touching. You can communicate by acts of gifts of love or gifts, acts of affection or gifts of appreciation or time together, whatever that love language is for you and your partner. The book is amazing. So I'm going to add that to the show notes too. Have you tapped into
Yeah,
that book?
that's a fantastic one. People bring that up a lot. I think it's just so common, you know, it's common in the zeitgeist of like people understand what love languages are all about. So it's a nice way to think about it. I think the only thing I would add to love languages is I think that touch is an essential need for us as monkeys and trees. You know, we're just animals and we need touch. And I think that if we discount our need for touch by saying it's not our love language, it seems a little like I just encourage people to reflect on that because I think we all need touch, but that we all have hurt around touch, or maybe we didn't always receive, you know, touch that felt good, or that we might have not always seen the value in it. But I encourage people to like lean into touch in a curious way. I mean,
And
you know, and define what your real relationship with is with it, because I think there's a little knee jerk sometimes of like, I just don't do that. But I do think it's really important for all of us. And
it's
to find the
interesting.
way that that can come in for you that feels good.
And there could be the person's storyline, it could be the way they were raised, it could be what they noticed, and all of those things are factors. You know, Tony, he said to me the other day, he's like, you need to communicate with me what you want. And that's a good point because he knows we're opposite. He knows we're different. He's like, I'm like, I just needed you to hold me. He's like, then you should have came to me.
It's a hard thing to know. It's a hard thing to remember. You know, when I
Yeah.
work with couples, it's one of the number one things we talk about. You know, you have to say what you want.
And it's hard because at this stage,
It's
we've
hard to even
gone
know
through
what that is, right?
part,
That's
yes.
part of what we're talking about. Like, what is that? And that's just across all domains. That's not even just about your sex, but like letting, you know, telling your partner exactly what you want.
Yeah.
Just
And that's,
exactly, and being very precise. And love isn't my partner reads my mind. Love is my partner can hear what I want and maybe give it to me sometimes.
well, no,
You
and
know,
that's so
the
true.
giving, it's answering the request. That's where love is shown. It's not in the reading of the mind. I think that's what we often think.
Oh my gosh, that's so huge because, we all think in every relationship that we're somehow expected to be a mind reader, instead of communicating. But simple things like we'll hold hands, we'll cuddle up on the couch, but it's me going to him. But that's okay. He doesn't turn me away. I just had to get used to the fact that I was going to him, right? But he like, but I taught him, and I'm saying this with the right words, I taught him how to deliver a proper hug. He hugs me now for over 20 seconds. Sometimes he counts,
Love that.
but almost every time I go in for an embrace or he goes to hug me, like, and I hate to say I taught him that, but that matters to me. I need to feel that. I am the huggy, affectionate, show me love all the time kind of person. And it's okay that he's different, but it's even better that he is showing me what I need. And now, there's kisses in the morning and there's kisses at night and there's kisses when he comes home and there's kisses or there's hugs throughout as well. And it's those
It's a
moments
game changer for relationships, that
open
kind of
up. Yeah.
affection.
Yeah.
People come to talk to me about their sex life, and I'm like, do you hug? Do you kiss?
Yeah.
Do you greet each
Yeah.
other when you come home? You know, it's all interconnected.
Listen, I know you have some exciting news to share, and we're going to put this in the mindset category. Can you share with everybody what we were talking about pre-camera?
Well, I am contributing to my first book. It's going to be called Owning It. It'll be coming out probably in the next couple of months. So with various contributors to chapters, with women, most women entrepreneurs, women coaches, talking about for them, what does owning it mean? And for me, my chapter is owning your sexual story. And it's a lot of what we've been talking about here, but the idea of, you know, I'm gonna like, you know, give you guys a bombshell here, which is I'm a clinical sexologist and my sex life is not perfect. You know, no one's sex life is perfect. And in the chapter, I go through my own story and share my sexual story for the purposes of sort of exploring what it is I learned. Like, that's the first truth I learned, that if you share your sexual story, you learn the first truth, which is you are not alone. You are not broken. And that's just it's a foundational message that I'm just called to as in my work to share. You're not broken, you're not alone. And how do you find that out? You find it out by owning your story and sharing it. And so a lot of what
I
I'm
love
doing is
that.
sharing my
Yeah.
story, you know, in a way to inspire others to share theirs. And even in hearing another person's story, you start to see like, oh wow, that sounds something like mine. Maybe I'm not broken. Maybe I'm not alone. And that doesn't solve your problem, but it allows you to like take that deep exhale, to feel that camaraderie with other women or other people, to let the shoulders come down, right? To feel that healing of just not being alone. And if there's just something that comes in there where you feel like, you know, the next answer will come. Right. You don't know what the next answer is, but just in getting to that space, you know the next answer will come. So
I love that. I
owning your
love
sexual
that.
story is the first step.
And I'm going to chime in here and say owning any story is your
Owning any
first step.
story. Yeah,
Owning any story.
exactly.
All right. So the mindset piece, congratulations. I know how exciting that is. And I know how addictive that is.
I'm feeling already. I'm like, give me more, give me
I'm
more.
like, I did four chapter books. I've written an international bestseller called Your Story Matters. And for those that are new, this is the book.
Look at that. I
Yeah.
think we're all thinking the same thing. The story
Yeah,
matters.
and
The story
this
matters.
one is a complete workbook that has a course that you can actually sign up and get. So
Great minds think alike, right? Owning that
Absolutely.
story.
Owning that story. Yep. So let's talk about so that mindset piece that went around putting the book, that's huge. And how about movement? What kind of movement do you put into your life on a regular basis?
My movement is generally yoga. That's I love yoga. Love, 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 love yoga. Need to do more. Love it. It's always nourishing to my soul. For me, what I in my work, what I often encourage people to do is to remember that they have, if they're a female, they have a vulva, they have a clitoris, they have breasts. And so when you're moving, if you're feeling like I can't connect into my, connect back with that sort of sexual fire, like it's there. It's just that a lot of times in a lot of the movement work that we do, we kind of turn off those areas, right? When we do a body scan meditation, we go head, shoulders, knees, and toes. There's no vulva, clitoris, breasts in there. But like
True.
you on your own can bring that in as part of your yoga practice. You can bring that in as part of your body scan meditations, et cetera, et cetera. I love a lot of just like yummy undulating movements is what I often recommend for folks who are trying to find and reconnect with their with that part of themselves that feels a little quiet.
Well, and yoga has a lot of flow. Flow is creativity, and
Flow is creativity.
that exactly speaks to
And like we
your
talk about our hara, with the root chakra, and it's like there's just a part of me that wants to be, that's exactly where your sexuality is living. Like, can we name that? And can we own that without feeling shame?
That's huge. Yeah, because the shame that goes around it, yeah, absolutely. I mean, so much shame. So much shame, judgment, curiosity. But even as kids, it was like you gotta do that in the bedroom. Like you're kind of
It's
told
all
that.
euphemisms, it's all
Yeah.
name it, call it something else, call it something else. So because we feel uncomfortable naming that's where sexuality is lies. And I'm just promoting like clitor, you know what? Your hara is your clitor, your root chakra is your clitoris.
Yep.
It's your
Yep.
vulva. It's your seat of this intense power, right? It is our root. It is our ground. And it's also our source of sexual pleasure. Just physiology. So that's the kind of thing I love to add into movement is to add in our whole body.
Good. So we tell oh, and meals. How do you nutritionally fuel your insides?
For myself, I try to be just, it's like a common sense approach, just eat good food that's real food, eat enough of it, have a treat now and again, don't get too crazy. I think a lot of people, I think when people come to me to talk about sex, a lot of body image stuff comes in. And then it's like, before you know it, the next thing we're talking about is weight. And I wish I could lose weight. And usually what we're talking about is my tummy. I feel like my tummy doesn't look quite right. There's a roll here, et cetera. And I just feel like, man, if we could somehow like remove the consciousness of our bellies from our minds, we would probably have like, cure for cancer
Send them my
and
way. I'll help them. Because you don't
but
have
I'm
to
just
be a
like to
size.
remove that thought pattern, it keeps us small. And so in a way, like I'm a little hesitant to feed into the people's concerns about weight and stuff around sex and start talking with them about nutrition and that kind of stuff. I think what you eat matters. I think you are what you eat, obviously, and food is medicine and all that good stuff. And eating better, makes us feel good in our bodies. But I let other folks do some of that talk because I think it distracts and makes people feel like they can't have pleasure unless they are a certain way.
And that's huge, right? I see that with my clients as well. You know, they can't look at themselves in the mirror and give themselves a compliment. They can't look at themselves full body naked. And I've spoke to many clients who will not look in the mirror and period. And at the end of the day, how can you expect somebody else to love you if you can't love yourself for all of your worth and your value and your beauty? We're here to help support you on that, no matter what that looks
It
like.
matters. All
It
those
does
things matter.
matter.
It
All
does matter.
right, one more topic, your relationship with money. Tell us about how that's evolved over the years and where you're at with that now.
That's a
Which
tough one,
means, like, AKA stress, right? Like, the
It's
main
stress
stressor,
and money, yeah.
because it has a major impact on sex, on your day to day, any kind of stress. And money fights are the biggest fights in relationships.
I do think for me, money is now, I think we were talking a little bit earlier about it having a job to do, and it's like, I can see that, money's coming in, money's going out, it's sort of like, people talk about abundance mindsets, and that's really where I'm spending most of my time, I think, in relationship to money. Like, it's going to come in, it's going to go out. It all has a purpose. But yeah, money struggles, stress, feeling small, feeling lack, feeling like a struggle is always happening around money, or any sort of like effort that people are putting out into the world. They feel like they have to make more money or get the laundry done, or the kids have to have the perfect meal made at every time. Whatever it is that we're putting on ourselves as that thing we have to do, right? That gets in the way of our ability just to be, right?
And that's
Just to
huge.
be, and B is where sex is. B is where pleasure is. B is where you actually are. It's where you are, and I'm just encouraging folks to hang out there a little bit longer. Just hang out there a little bit longer and let some of these other things rest. They're not going anywhere. And when you come back to them, you'll be in a different mindset. You'll be a different person. And that's where change really starts to happen, rather than
All
thinking
the
we have to
time.
like go, 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 do, and force change or force productivity or force movement forward. Like, we have to tend to ourselves and tend to the present moment a little bit,
Well, and I want
show
to
up the
say with
right way.
that, you're still showing up, you're still doing the work, but it's different work. Slowing down is different work, but you still have to put that in there and focus on slowing down or do some sort of mindful activity that pulls you away. So, like learning how to play guitar or kickbox or boxing, you can't think of anything else in those moments. You cannot do yoga and follow a tutorial and think about anything else. I can't go for a run and think about anything else when I'm thinking about my breath, which is why the breath work is so important.
Yeah, breath work is essential.
Is there anything else I can have you share with our audience today before we chime off?
Well, I've had such a great time chatting with you today. We're just sort of like weaving around and letting it kind of flow. It was beautiful. Thank you so much. If anyone who's listening is interested in learning more about me, you can go to radicalsexologist.com and learn more about the coaching offerings that I have. I'll be having my own podcast coming out soon, so I'll be promoting that as well, Radical Sexuality Podcast. It's been a pleasure chatting. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much. And I love the name, Radical Sexuality.
Yeah, the Radical Sexuality Podcast.
Yeah,
It's
I love
radical,
that.
right? We're going to get to the root. It's
Yes.
radical because it's inspiring radical action.
Yes.
Radical
And
because it's like, let's get a little revolutionary in our lives. It's
yeah.
not about what you do in the bedroom, because ultimately, like, the most radical act is knowing what you want and being able to show up with that in the world.
Love
That's what's
that.
truly radical.
I love that. Well, I know the listeners can't hear this or can't see us. Only the ones that are watching us on YouTube can, but I would love to say, as I'm throwing my pen all around, I want to give you the biggest hug and wish you the most amazing day. Thank you for sharing some of it with us. And thank you for all of our listeners for listening to this. If you liked anything that you heard today, please reach out to Lori directly. My contact information, her contact information will both be in the show notes. You can message either one of us with any questions that you have. We are here to support you on your journey to health and happiness. So make it a fantastic day, everyone, and thank you so much.